Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio with Right Living. I'm Kate Holmquist. I'm here with Rachel Zwell and Monica Sandin, and we're delighted to be talking with you on a time-appropriate topic, should I bring a date to Thanksgiving? And to get this started, let me just say, my boyfriend hasn't gotten the hint and invited me to his Thanksgiving yet.
And the guy I'm dating said no when I invited him.
Ooh. And I don't have anybody to invite. I wish I had a boyfriend. So that's where we start today. There's our gut reaction.
It's definitely topical for us.
It's definitely topical gut reaction. We'd say no because we're feeling hurt.
Yeah, no.
Our Thanksgiving date possibilities. But to give this all a more mature beginning to a show that is actually an important topic, we can just say that holidays stir up a lot of feelings, mm-hmm. basically about anything. In the work we do of bringing people to greater degrees of consciousness about the way we run our lives, top to bottom, dating, family, and otherwise, we tend to talk about the family fog, and Thanksgiving is a family holiday.
Oh, yeah.
It means it's stirring for those of us who have families to go to and celebrate with. It's stirring for those of us who don't have families that we care to get together with or that we can get together with, and the many ways we go about trying to create that feeling of family, the feeling of belonging, or just the feeling of fun or whatever it is we're going for as we go about planning our holidays, or as we don't plan our holidays and we're faced with the consequences of that, they're really interesting material to talk about as we look at what about our lives we want to transform. So it's easy to sort of make light of it, kind of like we did around Valentine's Day. I was like, let's please not talk about what happened with Valentine's Day. I don't even like remembering it now. But it's useful to do while we've still got a day or so to plan to make it a satisfying time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're glad to have a few callers today to courageously share with us their experiences about the holidays, past, present, and hoped for. And let's start with hearing from someone.
Fantastic. So I believe our first caller is Catherine, and she wants to know if she should be offended if her boyfriend doesn't want to do everything holiday-related with her. So I'd love to hear some more. Catherine, can you tell us?
Hi. Yeah. So my question is just, you know, over the holidays, there are a lot of events that you can go to. My boyfriend and I both have a lot of, like, family and friend events, and so I'm just wondering, you know, how much commitment should I be expecting? Like, what is too much to expect? You know, I don't want to be, like, overbearing and, you know, upset, you know, or offended that he's not going to everything with me. So what advice do you have?
Well, Catherine, the first thing that I think is, you know, where I want to hear a little bit more about your situation and what you're feeling in that. You know, that's the surface-level question, what should I do? But what's underneath that? What's going on, and what are your thoughts and feelings?
Right. Well, I guess I'm just really wanting to feel, you know, it's the holidays, so I want to feel like my boyfriend is part of my family and that I'm part of his family. And for the most part, we do a really good job of making each other feel that way and being involved. But it's just really stressful, you know, with the holidays and just with so much going on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I think that's the important thing to start with, is to be aware of what you're going for in wanting to be part of each other's holidays. It's not a small deal to say, I want him to feel like he's a part of my family and I want to feel like his.
Yeah.
That's huge, actually.
Yeah.
And there are, it's like a doorway to a much bigger conversation. You know, I don't know how long you've been together, but to say you're my family is, you know, there's a lot that's being said in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that if you're at that level in your relationship, you're prepared to talk about, like, when you didn't invite me to this, I felt hurt. Or, you know, like that you would be already speaking the language of feelings and yearnings with each other. It sounds like you're aware of some of those things, but how much is it a part of the conversation you're having with him already?
Right. Okay. Oh, I totally see what you're saying. Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm just kind of nervous because you're right. I'm definitely totally aware of everything that I'm feeling and what I'm, like, yearning for. I guess I just, you know, have that fear of being, of causing unnecessary anxiety, you know, at a time where, like, the holidays are so stressful anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, you know, what? How do you and your boyfriend deal with conflict?
I heard that.
That's a good question.
Very slowly.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I get that, you know, one thing about the holidays is they do tend to tease up these conflicts, you know.
Ones that are already there.
Yeah.
But just don't come to the surface.
Exactly.
Because this day-to-day.
Is not a Thanksgiving conflict you're talking about. This is, you know, what page are you in? What page are you on regarding the relationship? And what page am I on regarding the relationship? And it's a very, you know, as Kate said, it's kind of a big deal question.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be like a big deal conversation if you have it little by little, if you're, you know, regularly checking in. Where am I on this? Where are you on this? And what does it mean to each of us? I think something that we tend to do is we tend to save up, not have those conversations in the moment when it's small, and then wait for something like Thanksgiving that's going to say, oh, my God, you don't even want me here, and I'm, you know, ready to marry you, or something that feels really big at that point.
Dramatic.
Yeah.
Well, and there's something that I, like, got from your question, too, this idea of, like, should I feel offended? I mean, I think the question is, do you feel offended?
Right.
You know, and it does. You're allowed to if you do, and you don't have to if you don't. Like, there's some being honest with yourself about, like, what your actual reaction is and not thinking that it's bad. You know, even if you've only been dating somebody for, like, 6 weeks and he, you know, doesn't want to come to your family's or he doesn't invite you to his or whatever your situation is and you still feel hurt, that's fine.
Right.
And so you being okay with yourself being hurt or offended or whatever is coming up for you is really key to you being able to, you know, deal with him in a better way that'll get you more satisfied.
Okay, that's great.
What do you think about that? I'd love to hear about how that applies to you.
I think you're definitely right. It is a deeper yearning that's, you know, that's kind of stirring up these feelings. And I think that the idea of taking it slowly and not bottling it up is kind of a scary idea, but definitely necessary. I mean, I think that's kind of the problem with holidays and why they're so stressful is things that you just kind of keep to yourself that explode, you know, all at once.
Yeah.
And I would say you're onto something with what you're saying, Catherine, but I'd say it differently. It's not about taking it slowly. It's about dealing with it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at the holidays, a lot of us feel like I can't ruin the family's day, you know, like it's, I would say, by and large, the holidays are a time that people tend to suppress and then blow up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you go the whole day thinking, I can't say that, I can't say that.
Or you've gone the whole year avoiding your family.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it isn't, the variable here isn't slow. The variable is actually faster.
Yeah.
Handle the conflict, handle the issue faster before it's the day of, before it's the moment that, you know, you're getting in the car to drive somewhere, and it doesn't have that sense of urgency and high drama.
Yeah. And Catherine, I do want to ask you, right now, how do you feel about it?
Well, you know, I guess feel that bad about it right now. I think it's a lot of anticipatory anxiety.
Yeah.
So I really like the idea of kind of taking action right now because, you know, you're right. That's I think the best approach, especially because, you know, it's, never too soon.
Well, I also want to catch, you know, the words you just said, I don't feel that bad.
Yeah.
So there's two major assumptions there. One of them is if it's only a little bit of feeling, it doesn't really count.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel that bad. And another one is that feelings like fear and hurt, sadness, anger, whatever it is, there are bad feelings, you know, versus maybe a response of like, well, I feel scared, even if it's a little, or I feel hurt that I wasn't invited or that he didn't say yes, even if it's a little, and that, you know, that matters because you matter, even a little bit of your feelings matter, and it's worth addressing in the moment to just say, you know, I feel this.
Right. And the phrase you used, anticipatory anxiety, is actually pretty great because it hints at what the purpose is of our feelings. They're meant to help you anticipate what you would need to do to solve a problem that you see coming.
Yeah.
If you're envisioning an event and you feel afraid, that's what we would say, just to label it in terms of, you know, the simple primary emotions, then that's data for you about something you need to handle. You need to get reassured.
Mm-hmm.
You need to talk about it and make sure you understand what his vision is for the time with his family or vice versa. You know, there might be a place where your values don't match about how you want to be spending your time at this kind of event or that. Like, your feelings are your greatest friend in this situation and not a sign that things are bad. Like, love that you have feelings and then ask the question of what do I need to do now that I've noticed that I'm having these feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, what would you say, Catherine, what is it that you're afraid of, you know, the little anticipatory fear?
I guess I'm just afraid of adding on to any potential stress that's just already happening with this season.
Mm-hmm. So maybe fear of the conflict it could bring up between the two of you if you're adding
definitely.
On. Yeah, and also I'm hearing some fear of being perceived as a burden.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And there too.
That's the worst case scenario during the holidays.
Yeah. So even just to know that that's underneath it, you know, it's Alfred Adler's mistaken beliefs. We all hold these deep-seated beliefs, something like I'm a burden or I'm not good enough. You know, we all do to some extent. They're there all the time. So to just sort of be aware of them, that's part of where that fear comes from. And as much as you can recognize it, you're actually affirming yourself. And giving yourself some positive attention there by just recognizing your fear. You're doing something to comfort yourself.
And part of our methodology says that we're actually in relationships in order to poke at those mistaken beliefs. So you've got a guy who adores you and has, you know, decided to be with you on whatever level you've all decided to be together. That's where you get to play and you get to share, like, wow, I just caught myself thinking that I'm going to be a burden if I ask you to do this thing.
Yeah.
Can I check that out with you? You know, like, You'd say no if you didn't want to, right? Or, you know, I'm not going to get paid back for this or thrown out or whatever it is. There are, you know, there are lots of different lessons
right.
and ways to go about doing that. But that is, those are two things I want to underline, is that your feelings are your greatest clue to what's going on with you that you need to handle. And having a partner is an opportunity to really, like, bring those core mistaken beliefs to the surface and check them out and actually transform or heal them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I definitely, I think I was kind of ignoring, like, what was underlining a lot of those fears.
Yeah,
I appreciate that a lot. That's great.
Cool.
Well, great.
Thanks, Catherine.
Yeah, thanks so much, Catherine. Will you call back in and tell us how it goes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much, you guys.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye now.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm. Well, very, very tender stuff. I feel it. There's, with the holidays, there's stuff that's underlying all the time, and it, you know, it rises up to the surface a little bit. There's a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, let's take another caller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got, I believe we have Asif on the line, who has a question about being infatuated with women and what it means, you know, the fact that he doesn't feel quite as infatuated with the woman that he's dating now. So, Asif, I'd love to hear more about that.
Hey, ladies. Good afternoon.
Hi,
Asif.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel conflicted in that, you know, I was, you know, about a year ago, I was infatuated with this lady, and, you know, the feelings were coming up around her, and, you know, that relationship didn't go anywhere. And currently, you know, I just started dating this lady, I want to say about 3 to 4 months ago, and it's great. You know, I love being around her. I love spending time with her, but I don't have that same feeling of being hooked by her, you know, being infatuated by her. And I'm wondering, you know, should I continue dating her? You know, is this going to lead anywhere?
Well, Asif, can you tell me what infatuated feels like, what this looks like for you?
You know, the feeling, like, just, you know, thinking about that person, you know, all the time, you know, wanting to be with them all the time, or, you know, this thing where, you know, just wanting to spend all my time with them. Like, you know, it's all about them, and maybe it's this mistaken belief that I have that, like, I guess it's a fantasy, you know, it's like the fairy tale ending type thing where, you know, you feel great around them and you just want to be with them all the time.
Got it. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's more of a feeling of this, you know, fantastical sort of, this person is the perfect person, picture of who the real person is. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, Asif, I'd like to just hear a little bit what you think about that, since I think you can do your own kind of reality testing on this one a little bit.
And I have been. I mean, I've been kind of testing it, and, you know, asking different people about it, and even, like, you know, looking inside, you know, as I've been doing the growth work, you know, that fantasy, that fairy tale ending, the Hollywood stuff is not real. right? It's not, you know, what relationships are about. But I still have this sense of, you know, romance and, you know, love at first sight and, you know, and what is love? I mean, that, you know, even that question of what love is. So I've been exploring that and trying to just even see, you know, I like, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, in the last month or so, we have been spending a lot of time together, you know, just talking or, you know, just holding hands and things like that. But it's, but, you know, I'm trying to, you know, resolve that with this other side of what this perfect relationship should be.
Yeah, that's right.
Does that make sense?
Very.
Yeah, I completely relate.
Me too.
Yeah. And I think it, I don't, you've probably heard some of this, Asif, given that I know what you study and the kinds of work you do in your personal development overall. But for the rest of our online audience who haven't seen the book, The Heart of the Fight, by Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith Wright, there's some great sections on the idea of breaking the fantasy, but also on how the fantasy has served, like in an evolutionary perspective, why we have this infatuation. So a couple things that are worth saying are, and you've heard this before, Asif, that basically when you're high on your romance, all the chemical reactions that are happening are exactly the same as would be happening if you were high on drugs. You are literally high under the influence of chemicals. Now, that's not to say that there's nothing real happening. Obviously, there's a person that's kind of generating this response, but the purpose of that high or that rush is not to indicate to you that this is love, this is the real deal. The purpose of it, from an evolutionary standpoint, is to bond you to that person, to establish some connection that gives you enough interest to kind of stay in relationship and figure out who each other really really is, who the other one really is, and to move you toward the next stage of a relationship, which is not the infatuated love, but the companionate love. And it comes out of how we're wired as infants to attach to our caregivers. And Bob and Judith write about this really beautifully. This is my rough translation, but it's like, if you think about a baby coming out into the world, it's squirmy, poopy, needs constant attention, food, it's going to run your whole life. There has to be some wiring built into us that causes us to want to attach to that little creature and care for it and be bonded to it. And the same thing happens in a different way in our adult relationships, and it makes sense in a way. You know, if this goes where you want it to go, this is a person whose diapers you'll be changing in 60 years or whatever it is. You know, it's the same sort of deal. It's like there's a lot of, like, mess and you know, stuff that comes with a relationship. And so it's like nature has wired into us that super powerful initial reaction. And we're lost if we stop there and just say, oh, I'm madly in love with this person, and don't go the next step to figure out, okay, now what about the bond we have is the basis of a longer-lasting relationship? Where really do we fit and match and, you know, meet each other's criteria, meet each other's needs, satisfy each other's yearnings, and that sort of thing. So there's nothing wrong with that whiz-bang, you know, initial burst of romance. Like, I hope not. I personally love how it feels. And the point is, where do you take it? What's your reaction?
No, I guess my concern was not having that in this you know, not having that initially, right? So we're doing great on the companion stuff and talking through our truths and, you know, you know, what our what feelings are coming up. But I was more concerned like that. I didn't have that initial spark.
So great. You're highly involved.
Well, I relate to that one a lot, Asif, because I found that the more I've been thinking about this stuff and conscious of it and aware of it, the less that I found that initial spark, that initial high that I was used to. And so for me, I'm with you where, you know, that seems like something's wrong. And I think I'm right there with you, and that's probably part of the reason I've been single for a while is that I really felt the infatuation, and that's what told me that this was right and this was perfect. And as I became more aware, and a big part for me was becoming aware of the things I like and the things I don't like. As I start to notice the things that I don't like, it's hard for me to feel the infatuation when I still see things I don't like, because part of the infatuation for me was being blind. The magic and everything is perfect. So as I get out of that black and white all or nothing thinking and see things for the more real picture that they are, feels different.
Yeah, it feels different. And one thing I'm working on is sort of stepping out of my, you know, my fantasy of, you know, I need the perfect man to rescue me, mm-hmm. and say, what is a real adult-to-adult relationship look like, you know, outside of that fantasy, when I'm not a victim that needs to be rescued, when there's not a perfect man, and I see where I'm, you know, where my strengths and my gaps are, and I'm not holding myself as incomplete or as perfect either.
Right. So what's your reaction, Asif?
No, I'm really resonating with this, and I'm glad I called in so I could get this feedback, because that's making more sense to me now, that infatuation doesn't need to be there. So now, you know, and I've been starting to explore this. So, like, all right, what does this relationship mean? What am I scared of? Is this moving too fast? Is this moving too slow? Where do I want to take this relationship? So those questions have been coming up. Yeah. But, like, now that I know, okay, I don't need to necessarily worry about the, you know, the spark or the infatuation side. I can concentrate more on, you know, the meatier stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, and like some relationships happen in the here and now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hearing a lot of what you're saying about, like, you know, where is this going and what's happening in the future, and that is very important. It is, like, super important that we think about, like, you know, what is our future going to look like, and is this a person that I'm willing to, you know, spend my time with. But, you know, for you to really be, like, assessing yourself in the moment, like, what am I feeling now, and what about now, and what about now, and what am I yearning for?
Mm-hmm.
How can I get these yearnings met in the moment, either, you know, just, like, through myself, or, you know, like, expressing them to get them met through the other person, and to be exploring that. I think that's part of this, like, new model of relationships that we're talking about, as opposed to just the, like, this is amazing and we're going to get married and everything's great. You know, it's like, it's way more grounded in, like, in your here and now, in your reality in the moment, that I think is kind of what you're touching on right now.
And the other thing about it is the research shows the relationships that start based on that idea that that we have great chemistry, or this is the one, or, you know, that are super certain in the outset, in the first blush of romance, that's not actually what leads to lasting relationships. So you know, Monica and Rachel have gotten at some of what are the deeper questions of your ultimate values and your yearnings in the moment. But this, I just want to say, like, the data supports that your approach is totally fine. Like, you know, ultimately, if what you want is a mature, lifelong partnership, potentially, there's nothing wrong with not having those things that are typically thought of as the marks of a great relationship in the beginning stages of a romance. Like, you have to define for yourself what feels like love, what feels like romance. Mm-hmm. You know, and romance, the definition, one of the definitions is, like, a brief, not lasting, you know, fantasy-based phenomenon. It sounds like you're actually developing the foundations of what could be a lifelong, you know, adventure of romance in the way Bob and Judith define it. And it's up to you to say, you know, these are my values. You know, I'm not going to be the person who believes that I have to have the, you know, the strong chemical reaction from the outset, and to not be guided by that sort of should.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm taking in all the feedback. I mean, especially the moment by moment. Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, there are things to consider in the future, but you know, what do I want right now? And, you know, that's definitely a big part of it, meeting my yearnings and, you know, just little things that, you know, that make a difference and, you know, that just, you know, make me smile, or just, you know, the little yearnings, like, definitely going for that. You know, just like holding hands, or just, you know, asking her how she's feeling, or, you know, just even expressing what I'm feeling in the moment. And, you know, we're going through some things, and this is new to both of us. This is kind of like our, you know, we've both been divorced, and so we both got kids, and, you know, how is this going to play out, per se? But, thank you guys. I really appreciate, you know, all the feedback that I've gotten.
Great. Thanks for calling in, Asif.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Great. Well, let's move on to our third caller of the day.
Sure.
We have Allison, who wants to know if it makes her a jerk if she goes to her boyfriend's holiday celebration. Sorry, if she goes to her boyfriend's holiday celebration, but she doesn't invite him to hers. So, Allison, let's hear more.
Hi, ladies. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. So I guess I'll just dive right into it. My boyfriend and I have been together for over a year now, and this will be our second set of holidays together. And each year he's invited me to his family Christmas on the day before, but I, although my family Christmas party hasn't been celebrated on Christmas Day, have not invited him to mine. So does that make me a jerk that I haven't invited him and have made no effort to invite him?
Yeah.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
I see. At the exact same moment, I was going to say no. So there isn't, I don't know.
We don't have a jerk quiz here.
Yes. Thank you. That's it. So
there may be other elements in your reasons for not doing it that
right,
may be jerky
that are,
for
yes.
you not to be talking
mm-hmm.
about, however.
Yes.
To
Thank
put
you.
It bluntly.
Yeah.
So that's the more interesting question is, you
What's
know,
going
what
on?
About the family gathering? What about your relationship? What about him? What about you causes you to not want him at the gathering?
Yeah.
And you know, those are vulnerable questions. You don't need to lay it all out for us right here on the online radio show. But to whatever degree, you know, does some of that ring true that you have reasons?
Yeah, I actually have grown I've actually grown up with his family for the past 5 years or so. We were involved in like a mutual, the same community for a while for
mm-hmm.
softball.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was around his parents all the time, his sister, like my family, my immediate family. We were very close with his family. But when it comes time to my family's Christmas celebration, I'm very close to my own family, all my cousins and stuff like that. We're very clicky.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to have to bring another person in, I guess, is what I'm thinking. Especially because it's just like my time with them and now we're all in college, so, I mean, we don't see each other as much, and I don't want him to feel like he's being ignored or unwelcome when it's not the case at all. I mean, it's just that I never get to see them, and I don't want anybody to feel left out or have anybody in my family feel like, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Got a boyfriend. It's going to be all about the boyfriend, so.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's a lot in there, Allison.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's just occurring to me is, like, you know, like Kate said, there's a lot underneath here, and the game we're really playing here is to just be curious about it. So you know, what I heard you say is, like, there's a piece of you that just, you know, that's like, I want my family to myself. You know, I feel some fear about hurting his feelings. I don't want to hurt his feelings. Feel some, like, fear about the conflict and the question from the beginning, should I be a jerk? Like, am I being a jerk? I feel some fear about how I'm going to come across to him. And then also the piece about, you know, announcing that it's a boyfriend to all that extended family that you're so close with. It sounds like there's a lot of sort of fear all around. So the game I would really want you to play is to just be looking at yourself and, like, getting – so I'm, you know, the surface level is, huh, am I a jerk because I don't want you there? The next level is, I just want time with my cousins. And then there's a deeper level of really, like, what's going on inside me that's you know, there's a lot of feelings, and where am I in this really?
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with that.
A lot of fear.
And it sounds like you're a bit preoccupied with taking care of his feelings and their feelings and his experience and their experience and not focused a lot on you and your feelings and your experience and what you want.
Oh, yeah, that's just me as a person. Always focusing on, like, all these other people and making that everybody else has a great experience. But at the same time, don't know how to bring them both together, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you thought about what your vision is for the type of partner you'd want to bring into your family or what you would want his relationship with your family to look like?
I mean, my family is very important to me. I actually had another thing that makes me feel a little bit guilty is that I had an ex-boyfriend who came to a lot of family events and did spend Thanksgiving with my family But he and I had been together a lot longer. She was, like, closer in age to me, and they had gotten used to him after a while, but it was still, like, it took the same amount of time to warm up. But at the same time, I don't want him to feel left out because of that either.
Yeah. So you're really quick to say, I don't want him to feel left out because of that.
I don't want him to feel left out at all. Because it's certainly not the case.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We've been together for a while, yeah. But I know he and I are definitely in different places in our lives, which is also a little bit frightening. He's 4 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving's actually his 24th birthday.
Yeah.
So he's in a place where he's looking for somebody to settle down, and I'm 19 years old. Like, I haven't even gotten to turn 21 yet.
Right.
I mean, I have so much ahead of me, and I'm just like, I don't want him to get the wrong idea that, and my family as well, like, this is somebody that I am looking to settle down with because, I don't know, I'm 19. I'd like to turn 21st.
You know, I'm also hearing a lot of in what you're saying, like, I don't want. And I haven't heard yet what you do want. And I'd like to know if you're thinking about that and what that thing or things might be.
That's the thing, is that I don't know what I want.
Yeah.
I'm like an incredibly indecisive person at this age. And
right.
Oftentimes I feel like it's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm allowed to be indecisive and try out different things. But at the same time, I just realized after you said that, by saying I don't want, by not giving it a chance, I'm also not allowing myself to want what I do want at the same time.
Right. Well, and what you don't want can inform what you do want. You know, you don't want, so I'm just going to, you know, jump in. You don't want people to feel uncomfortable, you know, and so there's like some so that's in that. Like, you do want to feel comfortable, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that you can have like a, you know, cohesive, wonderful, warm and nurturing holiday. And you don't want people to feel left out because, you know, and there's like a bunch of things in there about like, well, sometimes I feel left out and I know what that feels like. And I want everybody to like really be connected and sense that they're loved. And I want to feel loved too. So I think that you can use what you don't want to build what you do want and use that to guide you in a different way.
Yeah, feeling left out is like a really big thing to me.
Yeah, I get that.
And really the prospect of inviting this person into your family holiday is a way to experience more belonging on all sides. Like, I can envision a scenario where you would say to your guy, I really would like to have you at my family gathering. I'm really concerned that I'm going to need to be kind of like your host a little more than I'm comfortable being. You know, I really want to be able to be free to kind of move about my cousins and my relatives and people I haven't seen for a while. And I really like just to say, I feel scared of having you there, and I want you there. And if you're going to come, I need you to kind of hold your own socially and make yourself belong, introduce yourself to people. You know, these are the things I would feel weird about. And I just want you to be prepared. And then with your cousins and the people you want to spend time with, you could say to them, hey, I'm bringing my guy. I don't want it to get weird. I'd love for you to treat him as like, you know, a friend I've had for a year who was coming around for the holiday. He's somebody important to me, but I don't know where we're going. Don't ask him questions about marriage and babies and whatever. You know, like, it's an opportunity for you to be known to your family as well. And I feel like really a chance for you to play with having it all. You know, you want him in your life in some way. You want them to know you better. And really to say, I'm not going to include him because I want everyone to feel included, is just living a self-fulfilling prophecy versus really, what's your vision for all those relationships? And how can this be a target practice or a playground for living that out?
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially because just like feeling left out is a really big thing. Within, like, my personal little clique of cousins, I feel like that way a lot because everybody has a niche. Like, you have the boys, the girls that are, like, very stylish and I don't care. And then you have the three that went to the same high school. So it's always, like, that feeling, feeling very left out and oftentimes almost excluded, which was actually, like, something that tore me apart last holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want him to feel excluded like I do.
Yeah.
Or hurt like I did because of that.
Yeah. And I wonder, Allison, as you're sharing this, have you gone into any of these sort of vulnerable feelings and fears with him and this hurt about being excluded?
He was there for me the entire time for the holidays when I did feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very encouraging of me to approach my cousins and, like, tell them why it hurt me and why I was so angry with them, like, very hurt by them. And it actually took many, many months of persuasion.
So it's a challenge for you to have that kind of direct conversation there.
Yeah, I have a fear of altercation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'd love for you to take on a level of, you know, here's where I'm comfortable in this holiday season. I'm going to go one level riskier.
So I'm not going to jump and say I'm going to do something crazy and I'm going to be a different person, but I'm going to say I want to just smile and nod, and instead I'm going to, you know, blank. What's the thing you can't imagine yourself doing that's one step above that?
I have to put thoughts about what that might be, but I think that invites a good first step just in case. And maybe he doesn't want to come, or like we were talking
sounds
about
hopeful.
Number one. You never know, but I mean, that invite might be the world.
Yeah.
I might not want to go to his, might not have wanted to go to his family Christmas last year, but I would have looked for the invite anyway to know that I was cared enough about to be invited in the first place.
Well, that's beautiful. I love this vision of you, you know, being satisfied and tending to yourself and getting what you want this holiday season. I think it's lovely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's great.
Thanks for calling in, Allison.
Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, this is
so vulnerable.
I know.
Yeah. I just am thinking about how this is going on with all of us all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and that in dating or in more established couples, marriages, partnerships, whatever you want to say, like all these dynamics are happening all the time where, you know, I've been in a committed relationship before and taken him to a family gathering, and it can go either way where I feel like I'm hosting or I feel like this is a person who I can go back to as a secure base when I feel hurt or when I feel angry. And, you know, if we're, if I'm with someone who's doing their own, you know, work on their personal awareness and consciousness and being in touch with their feelings, they're a great resource to me at a family gathering to sort of remember who I am and come out of that family fog and then go back in and be prepared to engage. It's so important. It just stirs up for me how important it is to be living these skills that we're trying to live about being in touch with our feelings and to be sharing that with the people who are important to us to whatever degree it works. Because then you have an ally potentially in a family gathering, even if they're not invited to it, you know, to be able to step away and say, oh my God, I'm completely losing myself, you know, to what's going on with my cousins, as the case may be. That's a great, relationship building, intimacy building, personally, you know, building your internal core self experience.
And I've got this, that sounds so true to me, and I also have this experience on the other side of being the person who was, you know, not invited and heard about it and not on the same page, and that's the idea of this build-up to it, you know, the build-up to the big deal question like Catherine was talking about, where, you know, I hadn't addressed where we weren't in sync along the way, and then all of a sudden, you know, I wasn't invited, he didn't bring me as a plus one to his stepsister's wedding, and it just felt like, you know, the end of the world.
Right.
And there were a lot of clues that we weren't on the same page along the way. So, you know, really, really on the note of if, you know, if I want that partnership that you're talking about, then how to be, you know, more clear and direct so that I'm actually going for and able to get that kind of partnership, and I'm not relying on, you know, Asif's magical infatuation that it's going to be perfect and it's just going to appear without me needing to create it with the moment-by-moment truth-telling and engagement.
Right. Well, the word I'm getting repeatedly in my mind now is curiosity.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of the questions today were, should I, can I, you know, is this okay, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And my perspective, you know, the one I want for myself is to be curious about the situation. For example, I think the conversation I need to have tonight is, you know, what did it occur to you to invite me to this thing? What would it take for you to want me at something like this?
Yeah.
And what are your fears? What are you, what do you expect from this gathering? Like, what do you think I would add or subtract from, or, you know, and to be coming out with, here's what I assume it means, here's where I went in my mind, here's what I want, here's what I was picturing. There's a level of just like really wanting to know yourself and the person you're encountering.
Well, and I'm just getting like a ton of you know, our callers and us, and I'm sure, you know, everybody's like, it's easy to feel around the holidays that you're not okay, or that you might not, or that you might not be okay. You know, you're encountering family members who you may not have seen for a year or years.
Yep.
You know, you may or may not be involving an intimate partner with that. There's a lot of things that are like coming up and clashing and being revealed.
And you know, Kate was talking about this attachment and this, like, you know, chemical bond that we have for people. And it's very easy to feel that, like, if there's a danger of that getting severed, or if it does get severed, that, like, you are just not okay. So I'm thinking about this for myself, and, you know, all the times when I anticipate or feel like, oh, my God, I can't do this. And to, like, really work on my inner sense of, like, I'm okay. I can. The guy I invited said, no, I'm okay.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to see family members who I haven't seen since last Thanksgiving. I'm okay.
Yep.
You know, friends aren't coming. I'm okay. You know, so for me and for all of us, I think, to just, you know, really work on this this sense and this exploration of being okay through the holiday seasons, and maybe even delighting in them.
Yeah.
And maybe even having a fantastic experience. So that's what I'm getting for myself out of this.
I think that's a good bottom line.
Yeah.
Thanks, Monica.
Yeah.
And thanks to all our callers who've shared so vulnerably and from their hearts. It's very, you know, sweet to have people looking at these questions honestly, facing life honestly, I think is a huge gift of this way of looking at the world. So
yeah, absolutely.
Feel very blessed for that.
Yeah.
Well, what's coming up next?
So thank you so much for joining us. We are on every 2 weeks on Wednesdays at noon Central Time to talk about dating and singlehood and navigating all the ups and downs of this. So please join us again in 2 weeks for another show. Thanks so much.